You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It has been 2 years since the Supreme Court of the United States' decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This effectively reversed a recognized constitutional right for abortion in the United States, paving the way for some states to ban abortions completely. I spoke to the University of Auckland's Liz Bedeau about what the impact in the United States has been and if there could still be potential ramifications of decisions here in Aotearoa. 2 years on from Roe v. Wade, what do we know about the situation in the United States?
It's really complex and very dire, to be honest. I think it's important to start with noting that, you know, abortion rights, abortion healthcare was under threat before that decision about Roe v. Wade. So there were already, you know, very, very potent threats against reproductive rights and reproductive justice. So what happened after Roe v. Wade fell was that there were a lot of trigger bans in place. A lot of states had legislation ready to go to ban abortion, and those things happened very, very quickly. So over the last 2 years, a situation that was already bad has got considerably worse. I had a look yesterday at information that the Gutmacher Institute collects. They're a sort of a watchdog group that keeps a very close eye on what's happening in abortion and other aspects of reproductive care. And they have a good interactive map that tells us that 16 states in the US have total bans on abortion. 17 have bans on abortion or bans that would restrict abortion to under 6 weeks, and most people don't necessarily have a confirmed pregnancy result under 6 weeks, so it's essentially a total ban. And there are 20 states that have bans that would include bans on, even if there are some sort of rights to have abortion earlier on, there will be bans at later stages of pregnancy, for example, 12 to 15 weeks. Guttmacher also reports that only 4 states in the US have constitutional provisions that protect abortion rights. So it's a pretty serious situation, and it's ongoing because there's legislation being passed at state level across the US. There have been about 670-odd provisions introduced that would restrict access to abortion. 80 of those provisions have been enacted and 13 blocked, and so there's an awful lot of legislation that's before various kinds of state legislatures that may or may not result in more bans. So that's broadly the situation, but there are obviously impacts of that as well.
And is this situation likely to stay the same?
Everything's a bit in limbo at the moment also because it's an election year, and because this is such a powerful issue in American politics, neither Republicans nor Democrats particularly want to have a radical approach at this point. It's likely just to continue in the current climate. And what we do know is that there is a real threat to broaden the attack on abortion to include attacks on contraception. One of the problems that we have in relation to contraception is that there's a great deal of misinformation, and it's deliberately spread misinformation, so effectively disinformation, that claims that many forms of contraception are actually abortions, and they're not. Most common forms of contraception prevent pregnancies from occurring, and that's the whole point of them. But there's a lot of information around that, you know, for example, intrauterine devices cause abortions, that kind of thing. So we do see in some areas real potent threats to the rights of people to use contraception. It's also broadened out to things like, you know, the kind of attacks go hand in hand with attacks on gender-affirming healthcare, for example. So they're all linked to a sort of general kind of, I like to refer to it as a kind of coercive control over people, particularly women and non-binary people, minority people who face these attacks on their personal rights. So I think there's a lot going on, and a lot of work also happening on the positive note, that there are huge efforts to lobby to prevent some of these more draconian things happening. And I mean, one of the things that Guttmacher reports is that there's been an actual increase in the number of abortions in states where abortion care remains legal in comparison to 2020. So there's been an increase in abortions, and that is largely driven by out-of-state residents. So they report a huge influx of people travelling from out-of-state in the first half of last year compared to 2020 in those states that have protective policies, so policies that are ensuring that abortion services are still available.
And what could the current presidential race mean for reproductive rights?
I think the biggest concern that many people have it relates to the 2025 project, which is, I mean, Trump has not sort of come out and said that he's going to institute everything on that 2025 project list, but it's a very powerful list of things that extreme right wing want to change. It includes things like regarding any information about rainbow communities, any information about people who are non-binary or questioning their gender identity to be regarded as pornographic, and to one of the most more extreme measures that I saw reported yesterday was that people, librarians or teachers who shared information that might be helpful to young people questioning their gender, for example, might be considered to be sex offenders for sharing that information. They also want to ban contraception entirely. And there is a potent threat, I think, also to IVF because of the view that IVF it essentially ends the life of embryos that are not used in IVF treatment for infertility. So it's pretty extreme. There's a lot of pushback, and there will continue to be pushback even if Trump does get elected. If Trump doesn't get elected, who knows what will happen. Biden has resisted being too visible on this issue. But the Democratic Party has a very strong lobby within it to kind of protect and support rights to abortion as a form of healthcare.
At the time of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, there was some discussions the decision could have ramifications in Aotearoa. Is this still the case?
Yes, it is. I think that anything that happens in the US that is particularly heavily funded by lobby groups have an impact here. We know, for example, that there are so-called pregnancy counselling services or pregnancy crisis clinics that are funded with US money that essentially offer to help people who are considering having an abortion because they have an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy. And those clinics specialise in giving misinformation and disinformation to people who are vulnerable. One of the things that happened quite recently here is that our Ministry of Health put out quite recently, just like last week, I think, or the week before, a position statement on abortion reversal, which is the idea that giving particular medical treatment can reverse abortions. The ministry's had to come out and say that it doesn't support the practice. There's no medical evidence, there's no adequate research to support the idea of abortion reversal. In fact, clinical trials have found abortion reversal not effective and could lead to side effects and adverse outcomes. So the major medical bodies have agreed this. An interesting thing in the Ministry of Health statement that came out was that anyone who promotes abortion reversal is potentially breaching Section 20, or whatever it is, of the Medicines Act, because it's not approved for purpose. So those kinds of breaches could lead to quite serious penalties. They also make the point that early medical abortion, that is, you know, abortion that uses medication to end a pregnancy rather than surgery, that that's a safe form of abortion and it's effective, and that people can get support and information from legitimate health sources, for example, the Decide service, which is funded through government, through health. I think one of the other things that it's important to think about with restricting abortion and restricting contraception ultimately is that these kinds of measures disproportionately affect people who are already vulnerable. And one of the things that's important to think about in our context is concerns about maternal health, maternal well-being. I was looking at a US study that estimated that a total abortion ban in the United States would potentially result in an additional 21% increase in maternal deaths. And those kinds of poor maternal health outcomes, maternal deaths, already are disproportionately affecting, in America, African-American people, Hispanic people, other minorities that are racialized. And we could expect to see the same kinds of problems here. We know, for example, that Māori and Pacific women have, you know, higher rates of problem pregnancies and poorer maternal health, including maternal mental health. So bans on abortion, bans on contraception have real downstream impacts on people's overall well-being. And we are very concerned that you know, the more of this kind of misinformation and disinformation that is imported from the US and funded by these lobby groups who are hostile to the rights of people to make personal decisions with good information and support, you know, that can really have an impact.
That was the University of Auckland's Liz Badeau on the situation 2 years on from the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/becasts.